From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carol Van Dam. A motorcade from Cape Cod carrying the body of Senator Edward Kennedy passed thousands of mourners on its way to Boston, where Kennedy's bodies will lie in repose until his funeral on Saturday. Spectators gathered in Hyannisport, where others stopped their vehicles on overpasses, hoping to catch sight of the motorcade. We get more from Kurt Nickisch of member station WBUR in Boston.
The motorcade is taking Kennedy from where he spent his final days to the John F. Kennedy Presidential Library and Museum. There, this evening and during the day tomorrow, the public will pay respect to the longtime congressional leader. Sheldon Stern, the historian at the Presidential Library, expects tens of thousands of visitors at a minimum.
I remember when President Clinton came to visit, and I remember Gorbachev, but nothing like this.
After the public viewing, Kennedy will be taken to a Boston basilica that held deep personal meaning to him for his funeral on Saturday. The Democratic icon and political family titan will then be laid to rest at Arlington National Cemetery in Washington. For NPR News, I'm Kurt Nickisch in Boston.
The White House says it's not getting involved in refereeing groups using Kennedy's death to push for health care overhaul. White House spokesman Bill Burton says now is not the time to talk about the political implications of the senator's death. The number of U.S. workers filing new claims for unemployment benefits dropped by 10,000 last week. NPR's John Itzde reports.
The drop in new jobless claims suggests the pace of layoffs is easing. Still, the number of new claims remained high at 570,000. A separate report on economic growth in the second quarter held out some hope that the economy might snap back from the recession faster than predicted. The report showed that businesses had cut inventories more than previously thought in April, May, and June. That suggests that production will have to increase more than expected going forward to restock shelves, auto showrooms, and the like. Despite the inventory drop, there was no change in the government's estimate that the economy shrank at a 1% annual rate in the second quarter. That's because the inventory decline was offset by higher exports and greater government spending. John Itzde, NPR News, Washington.
Texas financier Alan Stanford was hospitalized today with an irregular heartbeat at about the time he was supposed to appear in federal court in Houston. He's accused of bilking investors out of $7 billion. Also today, Stanford's ex-finance chief pleaded guilty to conspiracy to mail, wire, and securities fraud and conspiracy to obstruct a federal investigation. A suicide bombing in Pakistan has left at least 19 security guards dead at a border crossing with Afghanistan. Khyber Pass is the main border crossing between the two countries. On Wall Street just before the close, the Dow Industrials are up 37 points to 9580. The Nasdaq is up 3. This is NPR. California police say a convicted sex offender and his wife have been arrested after a woman walked into a San Francisco Bay Area police station and identified herself as the 11-year-old girl kidnapped outside her North Lake Tahoe home some 18 years ago. Philip and Nancy Garrido were arrested for abducting J.C. Dugard when she was walking to her school bus stop. Police say they're 99% sure the woman is who she says she is. Faculty leaders at the flagship public university in Illinois say the school's president and chancellor should be replaced. The statement comes in the wake of an admissions scandal at the University of Illinois. NPR's Cheryl Corley has details.
Faculty leaders at the University of Illinois campus in Urbana-Champaign aren't calling for an immediate ouster of University President Joseph White and Chancellor Richard Herman. Instead, they say there should be an orderly transition to new leadership. An independent panel confirmed the school kept a clout list of politically connected students and some who didn't meet admission standards were admitted. Faculty leaders say the concept of clout influencing admissions isn't unique to the U of I, but its scope grew at the school in recent years. Now the school is setting up a number of reforms, and the governor is revamping the university's board of trustees. President White and Chancellor Herman have given no indication they'll step down. The call for them to do so will be considered at a broader body of faculty and students next week. Cheryl Corley, NPR News, Chicago.
Apparently, no one is sheltered from identity theft, not even the chairman of the Federal Reserve. It happened to Ben Bernanke and his wife, Anna, after she had her purse stolen at a Capitol Hill Starbucks last August. Court filings show a Washington man has confessed to depositing the Bernanke's checks. I'm Carol Van Dam, NPR News in Washington.